Yes. So back to the balance of rights again. Is renting concept the solution? Or a combination of renting and the fact that we should try to use a flat fee to solve this problem? I mean, the record and the movie industry is obviously not very fond of a flat fee. Because I think that they think that the sort of level of income will be fixed, and that the struggle to divide up that money will not be a pleasant sight. So obviously, if you have a fixed amount of money, how do you divide it in a fair way so that everyone gets their cut? And who would sort of get the benefits from a strategy like that? I think obviously a lot of the smaller musicians and the smaller creative artists would start to get some money that they may or may not be getting today, and that we may start to see a shift from the really, really large music labels earning a lot of money primarily for themselves. I don't know if you've seen the percentage rates on the music deals that goes on today and even the book deals, but I think they're around 10% perhaps. Maybe if you're lucky, 15%. I mean, the companies that publish this material, they sort of, and the end resellers end up taking a really large cut of the money as it is today.
But nowadays there are also procedures to distribute the some kind of things. You wanted to talk about before the media fee that is applied to every CD recording device, and you talk about that and the blanket flat fee together, but actually, there is a big difference between them, and it's like, well, one gives you the right to, like, the platform gives you the right to listen to that music or whatever. The other one, at least in Spain, is sort of to be a compensation for the artists due to the laws implied in illegal copying. So they are actually assuming that you will copy it illegally, and still it doesn't give you the right to.
No. But you're sort of on a slippery slope where you start to acknowledge the fact that, okay, we see a lot of pirating going on, we need to sort of start to collect a sort of a fee to pay for all that.
So you're actually, if you're buying some music, you're actually paying
some money, because they assume that you're stealing some music.
Yeah, yeah. So that goes against the presumption of innocence, right? And in Spain, this last week, there have been some news about that, because for the very first time, a youth decided that, because one lawyer demanded the entity that collects these this film Spain, because he used these CDs that he bought just for storing personal data from his business. And for the very first time, he decided that this entity had to give this money back to him, which was 1 euro and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but if you extrapolate that, then,
but I think it's easier to then tax the pipe, tax the bandwidth, or tax the connection you have to the internet. Because we all have some sort of a connection to the internet. The college have one, and most of us have some sort of connection at home. And it's very easy sort of to tax that pipe running into your living space.
But still the concept is the same.
Mm.
It's assuming that you are going to print the book.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say that by paying taxes, you assume that you're going to get ill? You assume that you need roads. We assume a lot of things with the tax we already pay today. So by assuming that you would steal material, wouldn't sort of break that tradition? Yeah.
And I agree, but if you do have a tax on it, then it's not assuming that you wouldn't bootleg your material or steal it, as you were saying, or break copyrights. It's making it legal.
Mm.
So it's not assuming that everyone's a pirate.
No.
It's making it legal to do what almost everyone does anyway.
Yeah. And sort of fixes this problem and channels a lot of money into an industry that, needs money to be able to produce new music and new movies. But I mean, I wouldn't like to have the job designing the system that will distribute this money in, a fair way. So how would you end up paying both artists abroad and in Norway, having a real fight about what has been downloaded and what has been watched, or what has been consumed? Because what also happens is that I can download things from the internet and share it internally with 10 other people, and I wouldn't that number wouldn't necessarily turn up in anyone's database in terms of the content being downloaded. I mean, there is always a discrepancy between use and download that could end up being significant.
That's the same with anything. That's the same with satellite television, for example.
Mm.
They don't know if I ask 20 of my friends to come over and, watch the soccer game.
No.
I don't pay 20 times as much to get the feed, even though 20 people are watching it. So
as long as you don't charge admission for coming into your living room and watching a soccer game, I guess that would be right. Okay, so we got the solution then. Taxing it all.
It was the Isle of Man, not the Faroe Islands, by the way.
Okay,
so
they, how extensively did they implement this?
They have 100% broadband penetration there because there are only 80,000 people, a little over 80,000.
Okay. Yeah.
So when that happened, the government there said, let's see the quote, "At the end of the day, we're not going to stop piracy. Embrace it." So they tax their ISP.
Yeah.
So the users don't.
But
know
do
what's
they say
going
something
on.
About an amount? How much do they tax them?
No.
Is it a fair amount or is it?
I've been trying to find it, but I just found that they actually did it. And also some quotes from industry people saying that if every ISP would do it, then it would be okay. But I don't think it's that much. I remember reading it wasn't that much.
But does
I
this
can't find it.
Does this extend to books as well and magazines as we progress into an era where we can predict e-reading devices for books and magazines and papers?
It should.
Mm. Should we say that okay, Norwegian newspapers get a cut out of this fee or this tax that is collected, and that we can dangle all the newspapers that we want to do on our hopefully soon coming small electronic screens for sort of paper-based content?
Maybe. they would be paid twice if they continue using the model they are today. If because they have ads, lots of big ads on their web pages. So,
but I mean, a lot of industries are paid twice or three or four or five times. I mean,
yes,
the music
10 times.
The music industry now sells
time.
Ringtones, which is a huge industry from music. As in the United States, the musicians don't get a cut out of that money. When the music labels recontextualize a piece of music to ringtone, the musicians don't get a dime. I mean, I'm all for shifting more of the power and obviously more of the money to the musicians that actually create value. But I mean, you may disagree.
The difference there, I think, would be: do you give a cut only to the people who don't give their content away for free, or do you also give a cut to the people that give their content away?
Yeah, because this is like Sweden in, what was it, 1968, when they earlier drove on the left side of the road and now started to drive on the right side of the road. You can't really have the two systems in parallel. It would be a really mess and an opportunity for accidents. So you would really need, as in the country you mentioned, you would really need to shift the whole country and say that this is a tax, it's a flat tax on access. And this is a flat tax that relates to everyone. Because everyone pays tax to support hospitals and infrastructure in the country. And this can be seen as just a part of an infrastructure. You may not need a hospital now, but you may need later on. And you may not need a movie or a piece of music now, but you may enjoy it later on.
Confused when you talked about applying a tax to the broadband connection, for example, are you talking about like really regulating that so that you apply a tax of, let's say, yeah, I don't know, $50 per year and you get legal access to contents? Or are you talking about, because I was talking about in Spain, they are debating of if you should apply a tax for compensating the artists, as the one that is applied to the CDs and recorders, compensating the artists for the illegal copies. But still, you don't get any access to content. That's just for compensation.
I'm talking about providing that some company obviously needs to provide access, but that money is channeled back through a flat tax that the ISP has to sort of get from you. So $50-$60 a year, you could download everything you want from any site you want, and it's assumed that this tax is channeled back to the company that is distributing the music and to the artists. That's what I'm sort of implying,
yeah, right.
And I, in my view, that's what the move implies.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm.
But yeah, your extreme is that you pay, but you still don't get.
Yeah.
Yes, yes,
which doesn't seem like a good solution to me.
Yeah, that's it.
It seems like a sort of an in-between solution, and that the only way we could really go in this, in order to not be criminals, everyone, is to tax this.
Mm.
Because in relative sense, wouldn't it be a much easier system to maintain? I mean, some sort of mechanism would need to cut up the cake and distribute the money to each country and to each artist, and that would be a big piece of the work, but it would be doable, wouldn't it?
Because it's very different. One thing is a tax, like the health system, or anything, and the other one is kind of a preventive punishment. So
I that doesn't sound very productive to me. It sounds more productive to say that we know that people copy things. We know that people get things from the internet. It's basically impossible to stop, so let's do the best we can and find the best system we can to both make it legal and channel money back to the producers.
Also, I'm also seeing in that model you depicted there, Norway, is there any entity that is in charge of collecting the royalties for example, when music is played in public events?
There is in Norway.
So.
There is in Norway. Tomo, I think, collects playlists from all public playing of music. And like radio stations and sort of public arenas. And the tournoi fee is then divided out through the artists' organizations.
So, I mean, that computation is already done. The one of dividing some common flat fee.
So we have sort of, at least in Norway, we have some of the system in place. But I don't know if we have a good enough system in place to sort of channel money to book publishers and movie producers and so forth. I think that the music industry has got a lot of organizations that handles this today, but what about the rest?
But you say we don't have the system. We obviously have people. Because once you start doing this, there won't be any need for restriction. All you do is monitor.
Mm.
So all the people that lose their jobs because of that, you can just shift them over to the monitoring monitoring part instead of the restricting part.
Then you need to shift their brains first before you do it.
That's doable.
Yeah, hopefully.
They're right. The Isle of Man fee is €1 per month.
Ooh, that's low.
Yes.
Because that's completely...
That's much lower than the fees that I've heard.
It's
I've heard $50 a year.
Okay.
And obviously €12 wouldn't be that much money, would it? Okay.
It's music for now.
Wouldn't we all like to pay, let's say, 50 kroner per month?
Gladly.
To be able to copy everything we want legally?
I would pay more.
I have a question. What's the status of YouTube in Norway?
What do you mean, status?
Does it mean the some of the music, like the MV is not allowed to, you know, watch even privately, or?
I think that YouTube tries to limit the break of copyright regardless of country. So I don't think that this is a specific Norwegian problem, is it?
Because I see that some of the YouTube videos can't be watched in Norway, actually.
Okay.
That's not because they can't be watched in Norway, that's because they can't be watched outside of the economic area specified.
Okay.
So it's not a Norway issue. It's the rights.
It's a region issue.
It's a region issue. So most of the videos that have that kind of protection or have that bit flag on YouTube are videos that maybe the copyright holder in the U.S. has uploaded to YouTube and then sent to YouTube. Only watchers from North America can watch this video.
But what types of videos would that be?
It's usually music videos.
Yeah, music videos, clips from television shows, things like
things
this.
Owned by like the corporate record companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's mainly music or connected to music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Instead, I found Michael Jackson, Billie Jean. This was copyrighted.
Okay.
Because
that's a clear violation.
You when you're in Norway, you have to come to US.
Yeah, but there's no system in Norway that filters those kind of things from YouTube. That's just YouTube caving in or
but how do we feel about regionalizing, like the regions on DVDs? I mean, I hate them, but
the global economy is a myth. So we're going to get around it anyway.
Mm. But I mean, they're obviously trying with region marking on DVDs. So that they could launch a movie in different regions at different times and prohibiting people from Europe seeing a movie that hasn't been released publicly on the cinemas here in Europe yet.
I think we can agree that since, probably The Lord of the Rings, almost every single big movie is released worldwide on the same day. In the case of Lord of the Rings, even in Norway first.
Yeah.
So... that's not really an argument anymore. But look at the Blu-ray prices in the US.
Mm.
You can get a brand new movie for the equivalent of 100 Norwegian crowns.
Mm.
You can't do that in Norway. that's why you have the regions. Because importing from countries where things is less expensive makes too much sense for the consumer.
Yeah. But I mean, they're setting up district movie theaters in Norway with broadband connections that will start, I think, in a year or two, playing movies digitally on digital projectors, a little bit better though than this one, but that physical copies of movies is a thing of the history pretty soon. So then you will be able to sort of distribute movies simultaneously over the entire world with a fairly low cost of playing the movies. So obviously a big cost of getting a movie like Lord of the Rings to Norway is actually paying for the copies, the physical rolls of film that get into the country. But when this film is digitized and distributed in a digital way, you would get around this problem of not being able to launch at the same time in the entire world, and the region debate would sort of die down as a result of that.
And regarding the tax, I actually quite disagree with that, because you have to think about the economic situation for different countries. Like in China, at least, if you ask, like, just for operating system like Windows, if you ask, like, in America, they pay like 200 euros for one copy, but if you pay the same amount in China, that's impossible because we can't afford that. So
but wouldn't sort of different pricing solve some of that?
Yeah, so that's why some of the companies there, they can't earn money and they worry about that. And they want to make money and they sell in like 20 euros, $20 in China. But they also worry about if somebody just import those Chinese copies to America.
Mm.
And this kind of tax is too high for like countries in Asia, at least.
Mm. But I mean, they try to do that with medicine today. So medicine sent to Africa is priced much lower, and they're obviously trying very hard to try to restrict medicine coming back from Africa into the States again at 1/10 or 1/20 of the price. I mean, AIDS medicine is like that today. But that's at least some companies have tried and have started to see that, okay, we can at least send some more medicine if we can control the reflow of medicine back from Africa at a fraction of the cost or the price. but perhaps with bits, it's harder to control bits than tablets or pills or medicine in general. But I see the issue regarding China. But wouldn't volume, simple volume, make it attractive for Microsoft anyway to say that, okay, if we can control the reflow of this out of China, wouldn't it still make sense to sell 200 million copies of Windows or 500 million copies of Windows?
Or just license it.
Yeah.
The license fees we're discussing here wouldn't be for the whole world. If 50 or 100 Norwegian crowns make sense for Norway, it might not make sense for China.
Okay.
So
if we up the price to $100 per year as a broadband tax, why doesn't that apply to operating systems and software as well?
Yeah.
Mm.
For
example.
Yeah. And then, of course, poorer countries would have a lower fee.
But then it would be implicit that you actually lived in that country to get that price. So
China would have to tax its own people.
Yeah, yeah. But at a different rate than a Norwegian tax.
Yeah, we can't control that anyway. That would be hard.
So you would need to tax it sort of comparably to what the person would make in a day or a month or a year, and have a sort of a percentage.
Yeah.
So the equivalent of $100 per year here in Norway would be the price in China. I don't know, $10, $20, for as much content as you could possibly download and use. But are there any side effects? If I could download and use anything, what could the possibly harmful effects be? would there be a culture where of misuse? Could I sort of download that? Could I imply that, okay, I'm free to download this and I'm free to reuse it and brand it as my own and republish it? Would that be a problem? As some claim it is today with music. I mean, we see it all over the, YouTube today. People inject music that they don't own into a video they have made. And YouTube obviously does their best to remove those videos, but wouldn't that problem escalate and be very sort of hard to solve?
Would it be a problem?
I don't know.
Well, if you just make sure that people know that they should do it. And,
but do you think that they would listen?
No, but people do it now anyway, so I don't think it would be any more.
But would we need to redo some of the laws we have on copyrights?
Well, obviously, but yeah, you can require, like, if someone were to use the works, they will have to attribute the owner.
But in terms of the movie, I'm guessing you all watched the movie. Do you think what he did, sort of sample music and make new mixes of those samples, do you think it's okay, or do you think it's stretching?
The key word here that you said is new. That's okay. Rebranding something, that's not making something new.
That's a creative work.
That's just that's not a new creative work. And the new creative work is protected by Norwegian law. If it's a new, if you use others' copyrighted work in a way that new and makes new work, then it's okay. Paragraph 4.
Yeah. and it needs to be creative.
Yeah.
For it to be new or to enjoy protection from the law. So I can't really take an image and just flip it and say that I've rebranded this image. It's mine. It's a creative piece of art. Because it's not.
So how do you put that in?
Oh, it's a great song. I don't think that you could ever write a law specifying where the limits are. What's a piece of creative art and what's rebranding of someone else's work? Because one of the cases in the movie was the artist mixing the White Album and the Black Album. And I think that the new work that came out is creative enough to stand on its own feet and enjoy protection. But obviously the music industry doesn't. So where do you stand on that? Do you think it's creative enough to sort of mix music content into new album from two other albums in terms of sampling? Or do you think that's stretching it?
No. In this example, I think it's okay because he's actually making a new work. He's not just chaining songs after the other in a different way. He's not just pressing random. He's actually making something. Something that wouldn't have evolved from any of the two artists by themselves. So there needed to be a third person there to make it happen.
But I mean, the discussion that he's made is how much help did he get? How much is he freeloading off someone else's work?
Well, the Beatles do that when they use someone else's guitar. Do they have to make their own guitars? Because that's using a guitar that someone else made and you bought and then using that to make music. Do you have to pay a licensing fee to Gibson or whatever?
And obviously the case in the Free Culture book is Disney using old fairy tales as the foundation for the cartoons they made in the 30s. I mean, that they didn't invent Snow White and the other movies. It came from somewhere. And the argument that Doris Lessig makes is that it's fair for them to give something back when they actually took the old folk stories and made them into cartoons. So it's fair for them now, 120 years, or at least 100 years after the first ideas of those movies were born, to give something back to the community. And that's obviously some of, or at least in my view, some of his case in the book, that the things that are given back after 70 plus years works as a fertilizer, to use that expression, in terms of being able to fertilize and prepare new works of art in the society. So obviously when Disney, hopefully then, Disney gives back and gives access to and releases those old movies into the public domain, other people can build on them. Other people can create new pieces of art based on them. Or at least that's, in my view, what he's saying in the movie, in the book. I'm sorry.
But for those works still subject to copyright, maybe it's here that the this statutory fee that Jesse mentions makes sense, right?
Well, I think that he tries to negotiate in a landscape where you can actually register your work in a large database. I don't think that will actually work, but he says that if you can pay a small fee to register your work, at least we know where that work came from. Because his argument is that a lot of the smaller works of art, the smaller books, the smaller magazines that are removed from the shelves in the shops after a year or two is actually now completely lost. And I don't know if you have read The Long Tail, but there is an interesting idea that you can actually keep stuff and use it as a fertilizer. Stuff that really didn't make it into the top five selling list, but it's still valuable as a cultural background. And can be used as a fertilizer for new pieces of art, or new books, or new magazines, or music. So then, in that context, it would make sense to actually pay a small amount to be able to register all the works, and store them in a single place, to be able to really use them in the future. Because as things are now, we have a lot of books that are completely lost. We have a lot of magazines and movies that are completely lost when the original work and the copies are lost. There isn't really an archive in that sense for every book, even in the States. But if you can actually reuse that work, the work itself would sort of have an afterlife anyway, and be used, as I said, a fertilizer, to use an agriculture term for new artists that wants to make something.
If you were to implement this sort of tax for compensating artists and a system for registering these things would be needed, that's sort of maybe possible as well.
Obviously, but I think that the really neat thing about the tax is that there is a fairly low amount of bureaucracy involved.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sort of collecting money I mean, what would you really need to register? You would need to register how many people live in a single house to get sort of some sort of a statistic out of it.
Yeah, I mean, just you have to like register the works, so you know where to give them all.
Oh, okay.
What
the
works,
yep.
That's like, I don't know, public what works.
So you would need a repository.
Yeah.
A central repository. But I mean, crowdsourcing has worked previously, hasn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of registering everything there is.
Also, with this system, then you could circumvent a lot of, instead of having to go to a big publisher, pay them getting most of the money for your work, you can just publish it through the system and you'll get most of the money for it yourself.
Yeah, like some of the music artists now are doing, they're self-publishing.
Yeah,
which obviously doesn't make the music companies too happy, because they lose all their the revenues. We'll end with Pirate Bay today. Any of you use Pirate Bay?
It's messy.
Too messy. But you heard of it. Obviously. And I sort of made two claims about it, or a selection of two states, or two opinions you could connect to at least the former part that could be seen as the modern day Robin Hood that sort of protects and advocates some of the things that we've been talking about these few hours on the web, and actually pushes this discussion and forces this to actually happen. Or they could be seen as thieves that actually steal and are sort of hiding behind the torrent technology, claiming that we don't store anything. It's stored as fragments on different computers, so you won't find a single complete file on any machine. But the fact is, and the judge even said that in the Swedish court, that they're still facilitating this. They still knowingly organize illicit material or illegal material. And they even got some emails which was used as court documents that clearly stated that the guys behind Pirate Bay clearly knew what was going on. They clearly knew that they were sharing illegal files, and that knowledge needed to have repercussions in the form that they were punished. But any other view on the pirates? I mean, if you enter the Pirate Bay today, it's completely different. They're rebranded and pretty much gone under the radar of most public users. And what's left today is a really harmless service that you would have to register to enter. Because before you could log into Pirate Bay and download anything without registering. But I mean, I won't be submitting my name in the near future to Pirate Bay as it is today. This is the old org site, and I think they've got a com site as well. And this is actually
just
a change.
Redirect, yeah.
Because this wasn't the case last night when I checked it.
They are in the middle of an appeal, and they just got one of the lead judges off the case.
Okay.
Because she works for Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
But you could use those arguments. And then you could add some other arguments as well. It's not just about getting movies or music. It's also about free speech, for example.
Yep. Okay.
Or you can say that the Pirate Bay as a service is actually almost identical to a small part of Google. So is Google 100 times worse?
Yeah.
Because you can find anything with it.
Mm.
They crawl the internet, they index everything they can find.
And I think that if it weren't for Pirate Bay, would we even be discussing tax today? Would we even be discussing how to solve this problem today if it weren't for sites like Pirate Bay? So I mean, they really bring it up on the agenda and force us to talk about it and sort of forces a solution to this problem. And I think that what a lot of people miss is that it's not really Pirate Bay that's the problem. The problem is an old model of shifting material, mainly digital material, that has expired, and we need to find new ways of distributing content.
And most people say or use the wording that you did, that you're spreading illegal files. I think most of the files that you can get access to through the Pirate Bay are legal. It's just that the law makes acquiring those files in this way illegal.
But
and that's an important difference.
Yeah, but they still facilitate the spreading of copyrighted material, don't they?
What about your Wall-E DVD? What if your children get to it before you're able to back it up to your server, and it's broken? You can't get a new DVD from the store you bought it from, because they would say, your children broke it, we're not going to give you a new one. It's your fault. But you still bought it. Do you still feel you have the right to watch it?
I still
feel
that I have
this
right.
Is a legitimate way to get to be able to watch it.
Yeah.
I bought it on DVD. I should be able to download
it
via the Pirate Bay.
That's the problem with physical media, that you buy a physical medium that lets you watch a content as long as that physical medium is intact and is playable. And that's really the problem with distributing physical media today. That the content and the physical media is so ingrained and is so connected, and I'm not even allowed to take a backup to sort of have a music or a movie archived locally in my home.
You are.
I am.
Read the wording. It talks about effective measures.
Yeah.
It's not effective if you can bypass it.
But still, the macro vision, I've not been able to circumvent the macro vision on eWallet. So if anyone has a solution now, feel free to post it on the front row page.
Handbrake.
I've used that. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't work because it scrambles the different sections of the movie. I'm able to watch it, but the different chapters are shuffled. So it's really clever.
Then I would say that this is just a way of circumventing that which is legal for you to do.
Yeah. I bought the right to watch Wall-E, and as soon as my children break the DVD, shouldn't I still be able to play Wall-E? I'd gladly go to Pirate Bay and download it again, because I know in my heart that I paid 299 kroner for the DVD. So why should I lose the right to play it if my physical medium breaks? Okay. New break, and we'll finish next session 5 past 11.